So 50 years since the White Album.
Exactly.
Do you remember when you first heard it?
Wow. It was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Well, 1968, so it's 50 years ago today that it was released. To coincide with the Beatles remixing, well, Giles Martin, Sir George Martin's son, has remixed the album, and it sounds absolutely beautiful. There's all the Escher sessions that have been released as well. And also to coincide with it, you've written a new book to coincide with the 50th anniversary, all about the Beatles and how they spent time with their spiritual guru, the Maharishi. And you spent a lot of time with him, didn't you?
Yes, I spent 22 years in Maharishi's ashrams, and 6 of those years I was on his personal staff. So I had a lot of experience and time with the Beatles guru, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi.
What was he like?
He was the most happy person I ever met in my life. He was so charismatic. He exuded this amazing spiritual vibration and this immense love. Whenever you were in his presence, you felt like you were the only person in the universe, and this was the only time there was. And he was an extraordinary individual.
Because when he was catapulted to fame, I first became aware of him because of his time with the Beatles. And I think that's how the world got to know about him in some respects, isn't it? Because of that time he spent with the Beatles and also the Rolling Stones.
Yes, for sure. When Maharishi first arrived in the West in 1959, there was no meditation, there was no mantra, there was no yoga. These terms simply did not exist to any extent in the West. And within 10 years, Maharishi made these into household terms with a little help from his friends, the Beatles.
And how did the Beatles get involved with him?
You know, it was Patty Boyd, who's George's wife. She saw an ad in the Times of London, and she went to a lecture and learned meditation in February of 1967. And she had amazing experiences with it. She was very enthusiastic, and she told George Harrison about it, her husband. And he said, well, I want my own mantra. So they went to see Maharishi at the Park Hotel in London, August 24th of 1967, and that's where the Beatles were very impressed with him, and they met him backstage afterwards. And during that meeting, the Beatles expressed to Maharishi that they were seeking higher states of consciousness, and they had tried to do it through LSD and psychedelic drugs, but that didn't work out too well. So Maharishi invited them to learn meditation, to come to a retreat that he would be beginning the following day in Bangor, North Wales. And so that's where they learned meditation on the 26th of August.
And around this time, the Beatles learned of the sad death of their manager, Brian Epstein, didn't they?
Well, they were only at the retreat for 2 days. They were supposed to stay for 10 days. But on August 27th, Brian Epstein died and they had to go back to London, unfortunately.
So having to sadly leave North Bangor and the retreat, they then arranged to go to Rikishay in India to then devote themselves fully to his instruction. But Ringo and Maureen, his wife, leave after a few days, don't they?
Ringo left after 10 days because he missed his kids. One of his children was only 6 months old. And also, he had problems with his stomach. He had peritonitis as
no,
a child.
Did you?
And his wife hated the insects. It was very uncomfortable. And then Paul left after 5 weeks simply because his girlfriend at the time, Jane Asher, had a theatrical commitment in London, so they had to leave. So there was the only ones who left in a huff were John and George. They stayed for 2 months total.
And why did John leave in a huff?
Yeah, there were 3 reasons why John and George left in a huff. And one of the main reasons had to do with a film deal gone south. Maharishi had promised Apple Corps and Neil Aspinall that there would be a movie and that they would have exclusive rights to a movie, to do a movie on TM and Maharishi. But unfortunately, he had made the same promise to someone else. Four Star Productions of Hollywood had a signed contract that gave exclusive rights to film Maharishi for the next 5 years. So one morning at the ashram, John Lennon opened the door to his bungalow, and what was in the courtyard was a cameraman and a director who yelled, "Action!" So they were expected to be two-bit players in this four-star productions film that they had no knowledge of. So they refused to leave their bungalow. They didn't go to the lecture hall where the lights and cameras were set up, and they were furious about it.
Gosh. And you mentioned then the TM program, which is it's a natural extension of the transcendental meditation technique, isn't it?
Yes, transcendental meditation. Maharishi founded that method. You know, he taught, during his lifetime, he taught 6 million people to meditate. Gosh. Because he trained 40,000 teachers. And the idea in Maharishi's head was to create world peace through meditation. He often would say, for the forest to be green, all the trees must be green. For the world to be at peace, the people must be at peace. So his idea was to get as many people as possible to meditate so that it would be a more peaceful world. People would exude peaceful vibrations. And that was the theme of the song Revolution, by the way.
Mm. I'm speaking to Susan Shumsky, who's the author of the new book, The Maharishi and Me. It's all about the time the Beatles spent travelling the world with their spiritual guru on today, the anniversary of the White Album, which is 50 years old today. And lots of people say that the White Album actually could have been a very good single album. Whereas I disagree. I think it's an absolutely brilliant double album because it's a great time capsule of how the Beatles were in 1968.
I agree with you completely. And most of the songs that are on that album were written in Rishikesh. Mm. They were written by the Beatles under the influence of Maharishi. And that really shows in the lyrics because many of the songs, the lyrics are directly about Maharishi and their time in Rishikesh.
Which kind of takes us nicely onto Sexy Sadie. Who is Sexy Sadie?
Well, Sexy Sadie actually is Maharishi. In fact, the song was originally called Maharishi, and it was a very nasty song that John wrote while they were waiting for the taxis when they were leaving Rishikesh. He wrote this song, and then George objected because there were all these expletives in it. It was horrendous. And he said, "You can't say that. It's ridiculous." So John changed it from Maharishi to Sexy Sadie.
It's fascinating, isn't it, to learn the origins of these tracks, like Dear Prudence, for instance, who was about Mia Farrow's sister.
Dear Prudence, yes. Well, Prudence Farrow was Mia Farrow's sister, and she traveled to Rishikesh with Maharishi and with Mia. They all flew together to Rishikesh. Prudence Farrow had been abusing drugs and alcohol in her teen years. She was really pretty much of a hot mess at that time and, in fact, ended up in a mental hospital for a short period of time. And when she got to Rishikesh, she was very keen on meditation and she wanted to spend all her time with her eyes closed meditating. In fact, spent 5 days without even eating, drinking, just completely in her room meditating. And people were concerned about her, and Maharishi asked John and George to look in on her. And she remembers them bursting into her room one day, singing Obla-Di, Obla-Da, and Sgt. Pepper. But she just wanted them to go away and disappear so that she could meditate. In fact, she didn't like all the noise and the Beatles, and she wanted to be moved out of their complex, their barracks. She was in the same barracks with them. And then, unfortunately, she had a terrible mental breakdown when she was in India. And she had LSD flashbacks that were terrifying. But she was nursed back to health very, very quickly. Within 3 weeks, she became very happy and completely back to normal just by visiting Maharishi at his house. She was conveyed to Maharishi's house daily, and he took care of her and had her doing a lot of yoga exercises and so on. And she came back. And then as George was leaving India, he told Prudence that John had written a song about her. And the song is Dear Prudence.
And I now must play that song because it's just a beautiful, beautiful song. If you want to get a copy of Susan's book, The Maharishi and Me, you can get it now by Susan Shumsky. How long did it take you to write?
I started writing this book in 1998. It took me 20 years to get it written and put together and sold. My agent tried to sell it a few times and couldn't. I have 14 books in print, actually,
yeah.
A total of 14 books. But it was hard to get this one out, and I'm really glad I waited because it ended up being a much better book as a result.
Yeah. Susan, it's been great to chat to you. Thank you so much for being on.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it tremendously.